All right, Marty Lure here on KMBR 680 with still one of the top players in the game and one of the favorite San Francisco Giants, Jeff Kent. Always good to see you in spring training. I know that the season is not that far away.
No, you know, it's an exciting time of year to come out here, and the weather's been great out here in Arizona already, and good to get out of Texas and get some baseball in.
What did you like to do in spring training over your career, and even from the early part of the career to when you ended it?
You know, I paced myself. You know, instead of me focusing in on April 1st, I always wanted to be ready for September, October. So for me, it was, you know, coming into spring training, you know, really strong, because most of the stuff I did in the offseason was just lift weights and run. So you get back into the groove of things, putting a ball on a tee and hitting that, making sure I'm stretched out and trying to thin and I guess trying to lengthen all the muscle that I may have put on in the offseason, and try to, you know, lengthen that out and just, you know, stay happy. You know, if you're going into April with a positive attitude, it's a long grind for all these baseball players. So, you know, that was a big goal of mine.
Jeff Kent joining us. Always good to talk to him in spring training. Could you tell during spring whether the club was going to be a club that was going to be good and be there in September, or were you surprised from time to time?
You know, there was never a team that I walked into on spring training not thinking that we were going to be anything but good. You know, I had faith, and, you know, you never, this game is so crazy, you never know what's going to happen. So you always walk into thinking yourself is going to have a good season. And then, you know, you translate that over to the full team, and, you know, you have to have the faith in the game of baseball. You fail so much, and if you don't have faith going into the play you're going to make, or your at bat, or your pitch, or, you know, or the win of that day, or the win of the season, if you will, for championship, then, you know, you're already setting yourself up for failure, and that was not an option for me.
All right. Well, you didn't fail very often, I'll tell you that. Did you set goals for yourself, number goals? And of course, the numbers we all looked at when it was all said and done, they're Hall of Fame numbers, and I'm sure that's going to happen. But did you set numbers for yourself?
No numbers. No? Absolutely not. No. You know, there was a couple things that, you know, Dusty Baker had mentioned to me early in my career when I got here, and it was, you know, just a great help that if you play every day, the numbers are going to be there at the end of the day. That's the first thing he mentioned to me, which was something I always fed off of. And the other thing is, try to do one thing in a day, whether it's one play or one hit or one stolen base or one walk, one RBI, whatever it is, try to do one thing in the day, and those one things will add up at the end of the year. So, you know, players can overwhelm themselves with trying to accumulate stats early on, and when you get behind, you could panic and press. For me, it was just, you know, taking it, you know, daily and trying to get one thing in a day, and at the end of the day, it added up.
Boy. All right, spring training. Now, you got traded a couple of times in your career, and anytime you get traded, you go to a new ball club like we stand here today. You're the new guy on the block. We see Michael Morse here today. Tim Hudson is here today. What was it like for you when you went to new ball clubs?
It was always a nervous time, you know, in your career. You don't know how you're going to fit in. You don't necessarily know your role. You're trying to prove yourself. You're trying to prove, you know, forward some relationships and prove yourself to other teammates. You're trying to show the coach that, you know, them making a trade for you was worth it. And then you also, you know, try not to come in with the attitude that you're going to fill somebody's shoes, because usually you're going to replace somebody. So you don't want to, you know, fill in for them or replace them in a better way. You just try to smooth that transition in. And so far, you know, I know these kids, the two of them that you talked about, Hudson and Morsia. So you just go into it, you know, especially spring training, because you don't have to rush it if you were traded during the season. I was traded during the season a couple times. But spring training is an easy time to forge all those relationships and to try to fit in. And you've got time, so you don't have to press in order to impress.
Yeah, boy, you did it well. All right, now you're a second baseman. Now, I saw you play at Cal when you were a shortstop. That's how far back I go in this thing. But who had the biggest influence on you and teaching you how to play second base and get out of the way and be the kind of second baseman you turned out to be?
You know, I broke into the big leagues with Toronto Blue Jays in 92 when Roberto Alomar was the second baseman there. I never really played second much because he was there every day, but I played third. I played a couple games of short, played first. So he was a guy that I was always watching. Most of my time was I sat on the bench, you know, as a fill-in player. I was a utility guy. Yes. So I got to see Robbie work, take ground balls, his approach to during the day, and then you know, the way he went about his game, his work, and he was a big, just an example of an influence. Not a guy that pat me on the back and teach me things. We were almost the same age, but he was a guy that I really watched and admired playing second base.
You know, they're talking about replay, and if replay comes in, the neighborhood play at second is not going to be reviewed, and for good reasons. You laugh about it, but that's a play you want to get out of there, or just get out of there quickly and not get hurt. But give me some of the players who used to come down pretty hard at you.
Oh, geez. You know, Biggio was always pretty quick. He was a second baseman. Guys that would come in hard. You know, the kid from St. Louis, he's still coming in hard. I forget the outfielder, played with Colorado. I forget his name. That's old. I'm forgetting names.
Holiday,
there you go. Him, you know, we had, I think Vince Coleman was a guy when I, early in my career, he didn't play anymore. He was a guy that came in pretty hard. You know, some of the fourth outfielders that got a chance to play always wanted to prove themselves. So before that play even developed, you would see who was playing at first base and going, I better get the hell out of the way or I'm going to get my butt kicked. But, you know, that was always a fun challenge for me, and that was one of the most fun plays that that I got to do in a game was turn a double play.
Yeah, you know, you see stories of low bridging guys. You know, they come in late, they roll block, and they do things, and, you know, you got to get rid of the ball sometimes a little sidearm.
Well, yeah, you throw it right at their head. You know, that's a trick nobody really talks about, but the guy's going to get out of the way. So the guy's coming in from first base to second base, and if you throw it right at his head, throw it through his head, first baseman's going to be back there, and I guarantee you that guy's going to get on the ground.
All right, Hall of Fame, your first year, a lot of people on the ballot. I'm just curious how you felt about it, and, you know, I've always said from the time you and I first talked after your career that there's no doubt in my mind the numbers you put up and the play you had as an influence on a team and just in the field, you will be a Hall of Famer. How'd you feel this first year?
You know, it was nervous of how all the hype it's set up because people want to know what your expectations are, and I really didn't have any. You know, I knew that there were some phenomenal players coming on the ballot. Greg Maddux, he was a teammate of mine, just a great guy and an awesome pitcher. A guy that brought my A game out when I had to face him. So, you know, he was a shoe-in, and I didn't know much about Frank Thomas because he's always playing in the American League, and I was in the National League. You know, and Glavine, he was a great player in his own right. But, you know, you add that with the drama of all the steroid guys, too. And so for me, personally, I didn't have any expectations, and it was neat kind of watching it unfold. But, you know, I've always kind of stayed away in the shadows of it all because I don't have any control over it. I really don't have any expectations. I'm self-satisfied with the way that I played the game when I played it, and proud of the way that I went about you know, my daily grind for years. And you know, I'll let it go and not worry so much about it.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing you can do. Jeff Kent with us, and maybe a last thought: if you could do anything different in your career, say, if I could do it again, I would do this or that. Would there be something?
You know, I was one of the oldest opening day starters ever in the Dodgers history. My 40th year as a 40-year-old, not as a 40-year player, but. You know, I don't know. You know, I thought about maybe, you know, making a run at coming back home where I really, really loved, which was San Francisco, and maybe being some kind of a first baseman, if you will. But I was 40. I was getting tired. My mind was getting tired. And it's time to turn the game over to other people. But I don't know. You know, I wasn't the greatest, most gifted, talented player out there. I really had to grind it out and fight in order to be a good player. You know, throughout my career, I don't know if I would have really done anything different. I might have probably said a few things different, but I don't know if I would have done anything different.
All right. Well, you did it well, Jeff. Always a pleasure to see you in spring training, and it's one of the rites of spring to see you down here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you.
All right. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.